Today is a very special day. It's World Punctuation Day. How about that? Woo! World Punctuation Day. You know, punctuation's pretty important. Let's show you why. Let's eat grandma. It's actually, I don't know whose grandma this is. Her name is actually Mary Moses. She was a very famous artist. But let's eat grandma. You could read it like that and you think, right, where's the knife and fork? And you're starting. But actually, it should read, let's eat grandma. Let's eat grandma. So it makes a big difference. Commas are very important. They save lives. But today is a special reason for other reasons, a special day today for other reasons too. Did you know I've got something in common with somebody very, very famous? Right, I'll give you a little clue. I've got something in common with somebody very, very famous. Any ideas who? The Queen, yes. I said the Queen. You know, the Queen has two birthdays. And this is my birth certificate. You can see I was born 24th September 1946 at 24 Farm Road. But I've got two birthdays. 24th of September 1946 and the 15th of February 1965. And there was somebody else in the Bible who was very famous that was told that he needed two birthdays. And this was Nicodemus. Nicodemus was one of the leaders of the Jewish people. He was a member of the Sanhedrin, the sort of cabinet, I suppose you would call it. He was really, really well known, but he wanted to know something about Jesus. So he came secretly at night. And he said, "Sir, we know that God has sent you to teach us. You couldn't work these miracles," and everybody was aware of these miracles. They'd seen them. They'd seen the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear. They knew about the miracles. So they said, you could not work these miracles unless God was with you. Jesus replied, what I'm about to tell you is true. No one can see God's kingdom without being born again. So Nicodemus, he said this, how can a man who is already old be born again? Can he go back to his mother's womb and be born a second time? And Jesus answered, I tell you for certain, before you can get into God's kingdom, you must be born not only by water, but by the Spirit. Humans give life to their children, yet only God's Spirit can change you into a child of God. Nicodemus knew that being born again was humanly and physically impossible. Even today, though, people are still asking the question that Nicodemus asked. They ask, how can a man be born again? And they say, I don't understand it. I mean, how can a black and white cow eat green grass under a blue sky from brown earth and make white milk and yellow butter? I don't understand it. I don't think I'm going to eat milk or butter. I'm not going to touch them. No, I don't understand. And people treat the Bible like that. They treat knowing God like that because They think, no, it's just too complicated. I don't understand it. You know, I've never experienced anything like this before. And they won't go anywhere near a church. In fact, a lot of people are almost afraid of Christians. You know, they're frightened you're going to come up to them and hit them over the head with a big black Bible. And that's the impression people have. and people knock on, when you go around and witness the people on the doors, talking to them on the doors, they can almost see the scalps hanging from your belt. And if you go out on evangelism looking for scalps, I'm afraid you're not going to have an awful lot of success. Because quite honestly, if I was a non-believer, I wouldn't want my scalp hanging on their belt. People want good news, don't they? So, but what does this phrase by water and spirit mean? What does it mean? Some people teach, some churches teach, that you can't be born again unless you've been baptized. Does that sound good? You can't be born again unless you've been baptized. Only people that have been baptized are born again. Do you think that's true? No, it's not. Because there's this. There was the thief on the cross. I mean, the thief on the cross said to Jesus, as they're both crucified there, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus turned to him and he said, today you will be with me in heaven. And Jesus died and the thief died. Was he baptized? Was he a believer? Oh, yes, he was. He was a believer. He wasn't baptized. So that is clearly not true. You know, he wasn't baptized. We're all born by water. Every human being on earth is born this way. Because when you're in your mother's womb, you're in that amniotic sac and it's full of water. And when a baby's about to be born, the ladies say, oh, my waters have broken. Which means the baby's about to be born. The protection around the baby is released so that the baby come out. Because if it was like to come out in the amniotic sac, and it does happen from time to time, it would be a lot more uncomfortable than it already is. And not very good for the baby, not very baby either. So the Bible says that we need to be born of water and the Spirit. It means that we need to be born again spiritually. It's not a physical birth, it's a spiritual birth. Now, the Bible tells us, doesn't it, that we are dead in our trespasses and sins. So we need to become alive, don't we? So we're going to think about this a bit more. Nicodemus came to Jesus asking these really big questions, and they are big questions. How can a man be born again? He's asked this question. And then we stop there. I mean, you read the story of Nicodemus, and you get to that point, you must be born of water and the Spirit. And everybody stops there. Can you think what comes after that? See, look, just off the top of your head, you can't think of that. But actually, there was an answer. I can't imagine Jesus didn't give Nicodemus an answer. He gave him an answer. And the answer was one of the most famous verses in the Bible. It was this. God so loved the world. Oh, God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son. Anyone who believes in him will not die but will have eternal life. That was the answer. But it goes on to say this. God did not send his Son into the world to judge the world. He sent his Son to save the world through him. The answer was, look, there's a way out, guys. You can know God. You can have that distance between you and God bridged, and it's bridged by Jesus. But people think that God's up there, a big old guy with a stick and thunderbolts, and he's going to get you. And that's a lot of people are afraid of God, and perhaps quite rightly. But people, you don't need to tell people they're sinners, do you? Well, I don't think you do. Everybody knows they're a sinner. Everybody knows they do wrong things. And in many respects, a lot of people are sitting there waiting for a thunderbolt. Have you noticed something? Praise God. There are very few thunderbolts arrive. Most people walking around, even though they're sinners, are still alive. And while there's life, there's hope. There's time for people like you and me to get to them and tell them the good news, to tell them this about Jesus. But It's not fashionable, is it, to be interested in God? It's not fashionable or cool to go to church in a lot of people's eyes. And so they steer clear. They too will come at night and they'll ask quietly. I used to have a lot of conversations when I was working, and some of them I had in the canteen. People would say, well, what were you doing? Oh, I was just chatting with Fred or Charlie or whoever it was. But they would ask me quietly. They wouldn't make a thing of it. But they would come to me because they knew I knew the answer, which is a good thing. The problem is, though, most people seek a physical solution to a spiritual problem because they try the physical solution. The solution is, oh, well, I've got to live a good life. I've got to give to charity. I've got to help people. I've got to. And they're driven by this I got to all the time. It's a physical solution to a spiritual problem. Whereas what we need is a spiritual solution to a physical problem, a heavenly problem. And it's a bit like this. There's all sorts of things. This balloon here represents my life. And we get into all sorts of problems. We get stuck with envy, or it might be worry. And these things gradually pile up on our lives. Doubt. A lot of people deal with doubt. I've got a friend that I've known since he was a kid. I taught him in Sunday school class. But he still sometimes doubts. He has trouble knowing if he's really a believer. Struggles with it a lot. A lot of people live by fear. They're afraid of this. Okay, so yeah, everybody's afraid of something a little bit. I mean, I wouldn't exactly be overjoyed if there was a spider in my bath, right? That is not a good scenario. But I don't know what your worry is. You might have some, but we've all got them. Whatever your worry is, it's there. And these things weigh our lives down, don't they? It can't go anywhere. But the heavenly solution is as simple as ABC. So the solution is admit to God that you are a sinner. Repent, turning away from your sin. And this is scripture I'm quoting here. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we know it. Yeah. We do know it. But there's so much pride in us that we don't want to admit it to other people, let alone to God. Then B, the next one. Believe that Jesus is God's Son and accept God's forgiveness from sin. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. And that's the thing. When we got forgiven, we were still sinners. When we come to Jesus, we were still sinners. But we got forgiven anyway. C, confess. Confess your faith in Jesus Christ as your Saviour and Lord. With your heart you believe and you're made right with God, and with your mouth you say that Jesus is Lord, and so you are saved. There's a reason why you need to say it out loud and tell somebody about your faith in Jesus. It's because every time you do, you hear it and you believe things that you hear. And the more you repeat it, the more you will believe it, actually. It strengthens you each time you tell somebody that you're a follower of Jesus, that you've committed your life to him. It strengthens you. Even better, when you go out to witness to other people and tell them, that they can know God and they can be forgiven too, that strengthens your faith even more. You wouldn't know this, but we had a new cleaner started this week in the church, cleaned the church. And I showed her what to do. And then afterwards, I chatted with her, and I found out she was Polish. Yeah, Polish. Did a great job. But while she was cleaning, I went home, and I got a Gideon New Testament in Polish. And I gave it to her. She was thrilled to have the scripture in Polish, in her own language. It really touched her. And that does something for me. And you'll find it does something for you when you tell other people. So we need to do our spiritual ABC so that Jesus becomes our Lord and Saviour. And we give him control of our lives. When we do that, then the Holy Spirit fills us with his power and with his presence. And something wonderful happens. It's a bit like this. You're going to have a little bit of patience with me here. What happened? They all fell away. And when you come to life in Jesus, you'll find that the things that hold you down, the things that weigh you down, will fall away. And because you anchor your life in Jesus, you're anchored to him, you're secure. Now, here comes the fun bit. Where's those guys? I need some help. Make sure, take a couple of these each. This is going to be fun. You're going to enjoy this. You see, we float along in life, don't we? Grab a couple of two or three balls each. Anchored in Jesus. Everything is sweet. Life is wonderful. We've never had it so good. Does that ring a bell? Does that sound familiar? Well, actually, no. In life, we all have problems, don't we? And when we come to Jesus Christ and we give our life to him, the person who used to control our lives is not very happy about it. And that person is Satan. He really doesn't like it when we come to Jesus Christ. And so what happens is he chucks all sorts of things at us. So I want you to chuck them and have a go at it. See if you can bring it down. Come on, feeble, come on. Oh, yeah. Some good shots there. But have you noticed? Whoa, who was that? Have you noticed, though, all these problems came at it. They might even have hit it. They might have knocked it off course. But they didn't bring it down. And Satan could chuck all sorts of stuff at you. But with Christ in you, filled with the Spirit, you come closer to Jesus. Look, my heart's not just anchored to here anymore. It's anchored in Christ. And each time I'm filled with him, I come nearer to him. And he keeps me near to him. It's the attitude of my heart. It's the attitude of my spirit that I want to be near Jesus. And, okay, this is a fun thing to do, and it is great fun. And we sort of made it almost a joke of it. It's not a joke. It's serious because these are things we relate to. We know there are problems in our lives. We know things happen. But we need to know where our anchor is. We need to know who our anchor is. And our anchor is Jesus Christ. Ashley's got a good point there, you see. Because we weren't expecting that, were we? And Satan doesn't come up and say to you, look, I'm going to attack you now. Because what will happen then? Up comes the shield of faith. Yeah? Out comes the sword of the Spirit. And as Jesus did when Satan tempted him, he said, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. But Jesus came back with the word of God, didn't he? It is written. And when you get, that's why it's so important to read your Bible, to get into the word, to be praying, because that strengthens you. And as you stay close to God, then you will continue, you will get nearer and nearer to him. And one day, actually, we will be released from this life and go to be with him. That's a good thing. That is a good thing. I know where I want to be when I depart this life. So to be able to tell people this good news, that God loves them, that he wants to forgive them, that they can know Jesus, all they have to do, admit, believe, and confess, do their ABCs, and God will fill them. Maybe you are weighed down with problems. You could be weighed down with doubt. You could be weighed down with worry, whatever your problem is. But it doesn't have to be that. Come to Jesus. And as he fills you, the problems will not be able to remain on your life. Maybe you're here and you've never given your life to Jesus. Well, today could be your day. Maybe you used to be fuller than you are now. You were closer to Jesus than you are now. Well, you could come to Jesus again and say, fill me afresh. Fill me anew so that I'm closer to you. We're going to pray. And it's just a simple prayer. So let's close our eyes and we'll all pray it together. If you follow it just in your heart, it says, dear God, I know I'm a sinner. I'm sorry for my sin and I turn away from it. Please forgive me. I believe that Jesus Christ is your Son and that he died for me on that cross and you raised him to life. I want to invite him into my heart as my Lord and as my Savior to take control of my life. Fill me with your presence. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And if you prayed that prayer, I want to do something to help you. So, would you need to tell someone that you've given your life to Jesus. So don't be afraid. Come and tell me. I think I'm reasonably tame. But if you tell me, I will be thrilled. And I'd love to be able to give you a Bible. But maybe you're a believer and you've been struggling and you need someone to stand with you and to support you in prayer. Well, we're here for that as well. So when we've closed the meeting, and we'll be here at the front to pray for you and pray with you, whatever your need is. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.